Welcome back, Bald-Faced Truth. Judah Newby in for John Canzano today on the BFT Radio Network. Talking a lot about Ducks basketball, of course, with the way things are going in Vegas. And the man who covers Oregon athletics, and particularly Oregon football right now for The Athletic, Tyson Alger, joining us on the BFT. Tyson, we can't forget Ducks spring ball is in full effect right now as well down in Eugene. No matter how many headlines basketball has taken, football, this is an important time for them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's certainly an exciting time to be watching the Hoops team. I watched that game last night, and it really seems like, surprise, surprise, Dana Altman has his team firing on all cylinders towards the end of the season. But, I'm stuck back here in Portland and Eugene, and I've been at all the spring practices this week, and it's fun to see the guys back out on the football field as well.
Can you bring us up to speed on everything that's happened so far at spring football?
They've practiced. We are through three of the allotted 15 practices. Okay. They got going on Saturday. It's been interesting so far, because I mean, in terms of how things have gone for the Ducks over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, there's significantly less kind of newness on this staff and in these practices, but you know, there definitely are, some new faces to, adjust to. We got to talk to a new defensive coordinator, Andy Avalos, earlier this week, and talking to some of the other assistant players, and they're practicing throughout this week. They'll finish up on Saturday, and then they'll have a kind of a 2-week hiatus for spring break and finals before finishing up those last 10 practices in April.
Obviously hard to draw any conclusions just a handful of practices into spring football, but has anything from a player standpoint jumped out at you? I mean, does Justin look like his normal self? Does everybody kind of look the way that they're supposed to look in March?
You know, I think the big standout so far has been kind of outside linebacker or stud end, if you're taken into Avalos's new terminology, DJ Johnson. He was that transfer that came over from Miami before last season but had to sit out. But, I mean, the kid just looks like a monster out there. He's up to 270 pounds, which, I mean, if you're thinking about, you know, some of the Oregon's, you know, edge rushers in the past, like Jalen Jelks and Justin Hollins, both those guys were around 240 pounds. So we got a really big guy there that can move. And I was talking to Troy Dye about him yesterday, and he's like, yeah, this kid's just an absolute animal. He said they knew that all last year, but obviously he couldn't play and couldn't really help out. But you know, I really think this guy's got a really good chance of cracking the starting lineup going into next fall.
What about the wide receiver group, a group that has to replace all that production from Dylan Mitchell going to the NFL? What do you make of where that currently stands just from a roster standpoint?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, Mitchell leaves a pretty sizable hole in that receiving group. I mean, he accounted for, I think I did the math, it was basically 33% of all of Oregon's, you know, passing stats. You know, he had, I think, 1,184 yards, which was a single-season record for the Ducks. And, coming back, I mean, the only really established figure you have is Jalen Redd, who was around 400 yards last year in his first full season as receiver. So kind of mixed in that, you have some of the incoming freshmen, Josh Delgado, a four-star recruit. He's here already, and, he's had some nice things said about him. And then, a kid like Micah Pittman will be coming in after this 2-week break, but Oregon kind of knows that they need these freshmen to produce and need them to produce quickly. So I was talking to Pittman yesterday. He's back home in Calabasas, California, but he's been FaceTiming with Oregon staff pretty much every day, going over hand signals and calls and the playbook and all that, because they just really want this group to hit the ground running, because, you know, with a player as talented as Justin Herbert at quarterback, they need these guys to be able to produce that receiver if Oregon's going to have the season that they want to this year.
And that group is being coached by, I want to say this right, is it Jovan Bonight?
Sure.
Nailed it.
we get to talk to him for the first time on Friday, so I think we'll try to nail down the pronunciation before we get there.
So JB, as we affectionately... Yeah. okay, so that'll be interesting. You guys talked to him for the first time. Well, Marcus Arroyo, I saw, had some media availability. What kind of vibe do you get about Marcus? Because there's just been a little bit of conversation around him.
You know, I actually got, and, you know, this might just be the fact that it's spring and sunny, but, you know, he seems just really calm and confident and relaxed. And, you know, I'm not saying that Arroyo is usually an uptight guy, but, you know, he just, for a guy that has kind of been the topic point of conversation in terms of why Oregon's offense isn't turning like it should, you know, I think that he took this offseason to really kind of assess what worked and what didn't work last season. He said he went through and watched every play of every game and kind of marked down, you know, what they thought was positive and what they want to throw out. And, you know, I think it's really hard to grade him based on what they did last season just because you did have some injuries to the offensive line. Cam McCormick, their starting tight end, missed all but the first game. And then you had all those receivers who just couldn't hang on to the ball. So, you know, I'm definitely interested in seeing what works for them here in that second year. But, yeah, Arroyo definitely said there was a little bit of kind of introspection and the self-grading, which you would, you know, expect in an offseason.
Sure. Now, you talk about a little introspection. You know, Keith Hayward was in an interesting position, thought by many to be the, you know, logical promotion from within for defensive coordinator. He ultimately is not the choice of Mario Cristobal, going with Andy Avalos. But Keith Hayward, I mean, it sounds like he was a little disappointed with that, but is he trying to let that motivate himself as a coach? You know, what does he kind of think about his position now?
Yeah, I mean, I really respect Hayward for being upfront about, you know, admitting that, yeah, he was disappointed in not getting, you know, this promotion. It's the same thing I felt this morning when I found out that you were filling in for JC and not me on the radio. but you know, you have to address it up front and you know,
get it all out there, you know.
the thing with Jim Leavitt is Jim Leavitt always just kind of pretended like nothing was wrong, everything was perfect, and like he would never, you know, admit to anything that was bothering him. And with Hayward, he's just up front like, yeah, I wanted this job. Who wouldn't want this job? But it's not gonna, you know, it's just gonna motivate me going forward to be a better coach. And he said he was frustrated at himself for not putting himself in a good enough position to get that job, not being frustrated with Oregon. You know, he's on board with the decisions that Cristobal is going to make, and he said, you know, he still believes that down the road he's going to be a defensive coordinator. It's just not his time yet. And, you know, that might end up being great for the Ducks if this coach is now motivated to get better and make his players better.
Yeah. I mean, and is there something to be said for Cristobal kind of being, I don't know if bold is the right word, but, you know, going outside to bring in some outside ideas, that's a narrative JC has been championing as of late, that that only makes a program better when you get quality ideas from the outside coming in. And that's what he did with the Avalos hire.
Yeah, and I completely respect that, because I do think that, you know, there was a point where they kind of figured that Hayward was going to be their guy, but they were honest when they said they were going to open it up to a national search and grade the candidates, you know, as they best saw fit. And, you know, they found somebody that they liked better than the guy in-house. And, I mean, obviously there's some risk with siding with somebody that's, you know, not your guy. But if you ultimately think that that's the right decision, which obviously Oregon thinks that, pull the trigger. I think some of that comes with, you know, knowing how Hayward would take that. I mean, I think Hayward's a pretty stand-up guy, and I think that, you know, obviously there's conversations between him and Cristobal about how this all works, but, you know, I definitely like the move just in terms of, you know, you find something you like, don't be afraid to go after it.
Dyson Alger joining us for a couple moments more. How fun is it to write for The Athletic, man? I mean, I love reading your stuff on here, and they've got a great little rating system, and I always get to click on the green smiley face that was an awesome story, and it says, boom, glad you really enjoyed it. I mean,
I appreciate that, because every time you don't click that, I don't keep for a week. So. No, man, it's been fun, and I really like it for things such as spring football, because, you know, at other jobs it was so much of just kind of transcribing what happened that day. But with The Athletic, you know, it kind of gives us the time and the time like spring to kind of be able to sit back and, you know, lay for the land and write some, you know, unique and interesting, hopefully, stories. So I'm glad you're enjoying it, man.
Well, it's cool, because I'm coming to a point where I'm just really enjoying good stories more now than I ever have. I don't know what it is, but there's something to be said for the audience member evolving in their and their taste of sports media too. Like that's a real thing too. Sometimes it's out of your control.
Yeah, and you know, personally, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I've really enjoyed reading Jason Quick's Blazers coverage on there as well.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of the perfect match for a takeout writer like Jason, who, you know, if you give him a couple of days to work on something, you're going to get a piece that, you know, a few people can match in this industry.
And how about those Mariners?
Yeah.
Tyson Alger, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, man, it's good to reconnect with you. Hope to do it again soon. And thanks for all your work with The Athletic and joining us today, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, dude.
There he is, Tyson Alger of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Tyson Alger. Coming up, we go to Vegas, get a little Las Vegas feel with Greg Peterson, formerly right here of Portland, but he moved out there a couple years ago, now working for Uncle Brent and Vegas Stats and Information Network, among other things. We'll get his thoughts on the Pac-12 tournament and the other action going around the country. Is Gonzaga for real as well? More BFT coming up.